This is the Authentic Persuasion Show.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Jason Cutter here, back for part two, the after show, Mr. Joseph DiNatale Jr. from BreezeLine. Joe, welcome to part two. In between, you reminded me, it's been so long, if people heard, like, our journey to get you here. This is your first time on a podcast. How did that go from your side,
part one? It was exciting, a little nerve-wracking, a little anxiety, you know, all of the emotions. So hopefully I delivered for you, Jason.
I loved it. It's always a good sign. And I think this is just the case of any podcast host or anyone who's talking to someone is just being curious. If people can see here, if you're watching the video, I just have my standard 3x5 cards that I love using, just old school classic mode, and just a whole bunch of notes of things that I liked, and then also questions to ask, which we're not going to get to all of them. I thought you did great. Also, the biggest indicator is when I kept looking down at the clock, I'm like, oh my gosh, we don't have enough time to go through everything I want to talk about, which just means it's flying by. That's always the good sign. So I think you did great. So one of the big things is we were just talking about self-service in the end of part one, and I think that's really important. Is that part, right? Whether it's sales, it's service, it's having that omni-channel approach of different things. How do you manage that with the team? Not just the expectations, not just overcoming the fears, like the woman that you were talking about or what they think might happen, but like that knowledge center and also who's managing those things, right? Like how much is somebody trying to sell or solve over chat versus when they should move someone to the phone? Because I see a lot of sales teams, they try to sell too much over chat and self-help, and that just, it doesn't work.
I'm going to ask you to clarify that question so I can give
like,
you the
like
best.
How best do you manage those different channels where you're like, all right, there's self-help here, there's chat here, there's phone calls, there's emails. Like, how do you manage the people running those so that they're giving the best level of service but not trying to do everything over email, let's say, right? Like, at some point, somebody needs to talk to somebody if they're really struggling.
Yeah, totally. And believe it or not, we don't have email in our call center. So I know it's a shocker. Our primary communication channels are voice and live chat. Yeah, we have SMS and email applications in other departments, but not in the call center. And you know, to be completely transparent, we are early stages in self-service. And what I mean by that is, you know, we have just a team of people, army of people, you know, on the marketing and digital side that are working to improve the experience on our website, making sure that they're cleaning out older content. They're having more videos, you know, vignettes, those types of digestible kind of nuggets for information, but all current, accurate information on the web. We just launched our customer app in February. And so, you know, if you think about that kind of a journey, we're still in that adoption mode where we're driving adoption by getting the, you know, getting the awareness out there and promoting it, certainly through the call center. I mean, we speak to roughly 2.5 million customers annually. So there's just a tremendous opportunity to promote the app, talk about, you know, the features and, you know, the goodness that comes with it, but we're still driving it. The adoption, the utilization of the app, the education of the customers. So I would say we're probably in the first quarter of a 4-quarter game on kind of getting the word out and driving utilization and the awareness and the education right now around self-service.
Makes sense. And I love that approach too, which isn't a, oh, we're behind, we need to have this now, we need to take all this pressure off the call center. Instead, it's a, you know, it's the long game and understanding that that's beneficial, but it's not, you know, the goal isn't to rip and replace everything you're doing now with call centers. It's just to provide a better level of service. What do you see, like, I want to say, what do you see for the next 12 months? What do you see for 2023 as we're recording this in late 2022? But really, actually, the question I want to ask, because that's so far out and you're still in the midst of, you know, 4 months in. The bigger question I have, which is for all leadership, is what is the plan to sustain this, right? So you took really long hold times, you shortened them down, you got the team, the net promoter scores are going up, but sometimes complacency can kick in. Sometimes people revert to their old habits. Sometimes just kind of like you win and then you take your foot off the gas and then you end up losing, right? And then companies have this up and down cycle. How do you mitigate against that? Like, how are you already building in some moats around your success?
Part of it is, whether it's sales or call center support, is if it's not on a scorecard, it'll get forgotten. Mm-hmm. So for us, it's, we have very clearly defined objectives for our fiscal year. So our fiscal year at BreezeLine started in September. So even though the calendar year is still going, we started our new fiscal year for 23 in September. So we have very clearly defined objectives for each of the levels. So whether you're an agent, supervisor, manager, director, senior director, you have your own objectives. My job is to make sure that the data and the reporting, that we can, there's visibility. So we have the data to support those metrics, at the frontline level and all the way through the organization. So if I'm gonna hold you accountable for a first call resolution metric, I need to be able to have the reporting and the data behind it. So I think that is part of it. I think another part of it is in my view, Jason, we're not a mature customer support organization. So if you think about, a company that has their tech stack, that has their digital, that has their self-service, all the different communication channels, they have forums, they have, we're not there. Like, we're early, so there's so much opportunity for us to first get the table stake things correctly, all the blocking and tackling to be efficient, I think, is first. So we're doing that, and we'll continue to do that, execute at a basic level. And then for me, for 23, it's our technology. I think there is an appetite to have a tech stack where you're dealing with as few providers as possible. So you don't have, one provider for an IVR, you don't have another provider for your telephony platform, you don't have another provider that does your chat. It's kind of having an all-in-one, for the most part, solution. That's cloud-based, that gives us the data, the insights, and that you need to be able to react to the business in a timely way. So I think we're in a good spot. I don't think we're going to have any examples of being complacent this year, certainly not at my level, for sure. There's a lot of work to do.
Well, and I think the key is what you said, too, is you're not a mature customer service center, customer care area where you don't have those things in, where it's just like, now it's too big to change and too established to change, and everyone just does what they do and they just want to, keep doing what they're doing. Like, you have a lot of good growth that's also not about doing things that are going to change and replace everyone's jobs. It's about how do we just make it better and better and then just keep growing, right?
Absolutely. And I think to an earlier question too, on how you sustain things, huge opportunity for BreezeLine, and it could be any sales organization too. Any team member wants growth, whether it's in their individual contributor role or if they have aspirations of being a people leader. What do I do next? I work for you, Jason, and I hit the ball out of the park, making good money. What else can I do? Like, where do I go? What are my opportunities? And at BreezeLine, there's a real opportunity in front of us to create that progression, that career pathing and progression. So it's not, hey, I hire you to come join my care team and you're an agent and that's kind of what you'll do for the next 10 years. There needs to be, a real legit path that says, okay, in the organization, you come in at your, whatever job you were hired for, there's a path for you to expand your skill set, to make more money, whether you want to be an individual contributor and that's what you want to do, great. Or do you have desires and aspirations to be a people leader? Where does that path look like? And what do you have to do to expand your skill set to be an effective leader, right? People leader. But it's not just within the organization. It's outside of the call center, being exposed to sales and marketing and product and network and engineering. In one of our focus group sessions yesterday, I had a couple of newer hires, Jason, that came in with degrees, and it was cybersecurity based. right? And they're all about cybersecurity. I'm like, you know what? That is phenomenal. Like, that's the topic everyone's talking about. It's how do you not get hacked, right? And how do you stay secure? And I'm like, listen, there is a ton of opportunity within BreezeLine for you to kind of leverage your degree, but let's do it thoughtfully. Let's get you exposed and introduced to people in those, you know, spaces. So you can learn a little bit about what they do and how they do it to see if you even like it. So that's just a big opportunity for us, I think, this year that will also keep us very busy, Jason.
And that's great advice because, you know, a lot of companies forget that. A lot of companies think, all right, I'm just going to hire salespeople, hire service people. They're just going to want to do that role. Like, I'm not going to build in a progression plan for them or some kind of succession where they can move up. And, you know, people, if I need somebody, I'll figure out who, but like not a clear path. And really, I see that in organizations where they're not focused on intentional growth, where it's like, all right, we're here, we'd like to grow, but we really don't know how, instead of like, you know, setting people up with the opportunities to grow, which then gets the right people on board, and then, you know, get them with the right company culture. All right, last question here, shifting gears, or last topic, I should say, which is the fun part of the after show. It's like random stuff that comes up or things that I think about. Before we jumped on, because we were catching up before recording a podcast, anyone who's ever done a podcast, you know, it's like some chatting in advance, and especially for you and I, because we haven't spoken in a little while, is we were talking about a recent re-injury of a big injury that you had in the past. And here's why I'm going to bring this up. You don't have to go into the full story unless you really want to. One of the things you said that just really resonated, and I wrote it down, was it was regarding this injury and this re-injury. And you're like, I'm a salesperson. It's what salespeople do. We figure it out. And I was like, that's fascinating regarding a physical injury, tying it to what salespeople do and how salespeople figure it out. Like, where is that mindset with you? And like, how do you make that correlation? Like, where did that come from when you said that line to me? And if you want to, you know, describe the background of it as well.
Yeah. So for your audience, and anybody that's ever had this injury can certainly relate. You know, it's an Achilles heel rupture. Happened many years ago. Re-injured it recently. Currently in a walking boot. Will be for 4 weeks. Have physical therapy ahead of me.
I don't. I guess my fixing my problem didn't fix it. So keep going with what you were talking about. Start over what you were talking about.
Yeah. So for anybody that's had an Achilles heel injury knows what I'm talking about. Re-injured an Achilles heel recently, and then a walking boot for the next several weeks, followed by physical therapy. But because the tendon was ruptured and was repaired surgically and now re-teared again, I was told that by the doctor, I probably wouldn't have the opportunity to really run anymore. And I'm someone that enjoys running, do my best thinking when I'm out jogging. So Jason, you and I were talking about, okay, well, what happens now? So, you know, my response was I got to figure it out and pivot. It's all about the pivot. What do you do as an alternative for your cardio? And as salespeople, you know, that's our work ethic. That's all we do is we problem solve. You know, if you're blocked with a customer or a certain situation, an objection, you know, you got to find out an alternative way to get to where you want to go. And, you know, this is no different. So whether it's personally or professionally, you kind of follow that same sort of mindset.
I love it. Well, and it was just interesting how you said it just casually when we were talking. You're like, yeah, this is salespeople, that's what we do. Like, we'll figure it out. And it's just like, that's so true. They're like the creativity and the persistence part of salespeople and the traits that I always look for. I mean, that's what sets really good salespeople apart, is they're creative and persistent. And they just see it as, okay, this is an obstacle. We just got to come over, you know, overcome this. I think that's just fascinating. And obviously most people in life, I mean, if that's the approach you have, it's like, all right, if I can, I will figure it out, instead of, oh, now I'm stopped and everything is over, right? It's the optimistic versus the pessimistic side.
You know, absolutely. And, you know, I share that mentality with my directors. You know, we talk about all the time that, you know, there's constant challenges that are thrown our way, but we have jobs. We're here for a reason, and that's the problem solve. You know, that's why we are here, because the company trusts us to kind of steer, you know, the business in the right direction and to solve problems. So this is just one more problem I got to deal with, Jason, on a personal level.
And you'll figure it out, like you said.
And I'll figure it out.
The way to get your cardio, your exercise, your outlet, your thinking time,
that's right.
Whatever that looks like, I know that you'll figure it out. You have to keep us updated. Maybe when you come back, we'll get an update the next time on the show.
Thank you.
So for people tuning in, if you didn't check out part one first, make sure to check out part one. This will also be in the show notes. But if you want to connect with Joe, you can find him, Joseph DiNatale Jr. on LinkedIn. It's a really good place. You'll find him no matter what. If you just look up Joe DiNatale and BreezeLine, you'll find him. I also, like I said, the links will be in the show notes. And if you want to find more about BreezeLine itself, BreezeLine.com. Again, Joe, great job. First podcast in the books. You're now on your road to being podcast famous.
Awesome.
Great stuff here. I appreciate everything you shared. So valuable. Like I said, tons of notes. I love the stuff that you shared. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
My pleasure. Great. Thank you, Jason.
And for everyone else watching and listening, if you haven't, check out part one on the podcast or on the YouTube channel. And until next time, keep selling with authentic persuasion.